Good morning to all of you. My understanding is that you know where we were last week, and consequently that maybe I should comment on that. A year ago, you guys gave us a couple of days in a bed and breakfast in Williamsburg, and throughout 2008, the few times we were going back and forth to Tennessee to deal with some things with my mom, the few times that we thought we could do this, the room was booked. And so it ended up that this was the time we found to use the bed and breakfast. We took our family to the Great Wolf Trap Lodge. I realize that's not technically its name, but I've been there now, and I know how it operates. Parked then there, went over and sort of got ourselves into the bed and breakfast, and then went to the havoc and chaos of the Great Wolf Trap Lodge, and then retreated to the silence and peace of the bed and breakfast. I will tell you that the Great Wolf Trap Lodge includes a water park that has tubes that you go down through and rafts and such, and I only got stuck twice in the tube. That's actually not true, but it was a concern. I'm glad to see Kathy this morning. I think I hurt my back on the 15-foot drop going into the cyclone. I still can't believe I did some of those rides. That's not usually my thing. Carter did think he had the coolest grandma. It seemed like every time that they were going through a little thing with Carter that our son-in-law would manage to maneuver Barbara's tube to the point where she would get inundated by the waterfall. And Carter thought that was great. Okay, pop quiz. Those of you who have been here for a little while, Charlie, Kathy, just let you out this morning. What have we been talking about for the last 4 or 5 weeks, on the weeks that I've been here anyway? What is God's will for us? What does God want us to do? What does God expect of us? Okay, and we're moving today to the last piece of that. The principle here is, wouldn't it be nice if in Scripture you could find the words, God's will for you is this? Wouldn't that be great? Okay, and I'm here this morning to let you know that, as far as I know, there are at least three such places, and we're going to look at those. All right? Now, as we prepare to look at those, I want you to take a look at two different verses, because I think the context of these will help you understand a little bit better where all of this goes. So if you can find the book of Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, find chapter 2. And I want you to find verse 13. Let me read this in my translation. You follow along in yours. Mine begins, it is God who, comma, for his own generous purpose, comma, gives you two things. Now, what are the two things he gives you? Mine says he gives you the intentions and the powers to act. Things that you need to do, things that God wants you to do or requires you to do, God gives you the desire to do those things, and he gives you the ability to do those things. The source and motivation comes from God. My translation, it is God who, for his own generous purposes, gives you the intention and the powers to act. Philippians 2:13. Now, turn with me to Hebrews 13. It's a big book a little bit later. Hebrews 13. And verse 20 begins a prayer. The writer of Hebrews is providing a prayer for the people who read what has been written. And that prayer begins in verse 20. The focus I want to take you to is verse 21. So have you had a chance, have you found this now? Hebrews 13, start in verse 20. I pray that the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed the eternal covenant, here's verse 21, may prepare you to do His will in every kind of good action, effecting or producing in us whatever is acceptable to Himself through Jesus Christ, to whom glory be forever and ever. Amen. Now, do you see the same thought in these two verses? Where does our willingness to try to do what God wants us to do come from? It comes from God. It's a gift that God gives us. Where does our ability to do what God wants us to do come from? That also comes from God. If we are not in connection with our Lord, our ability to do what He wants to do is going to be very, very low. Even our willingness to try is going to be very, very low. And that's the background against which I want you to hear these. So, now let's go to the list. How many of these are there going to be? At least three. I've found three. That doesn't mean I won't find another one as we go through. Some of you may know one that I don't know. I want to go first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's in between Hebrews and Philippians. So, you can narrow your search. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to look at the tail end of verse 18, the very last part of verse 18. In my translation, it says, "This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Does yours read like that? Okay. Now, the question that comes is, how far do you have to back up to find out what that is? Because what the writer is saying is, I've just said some things. Those are the things that are God's will for you. Some people only back up to the first of verse 18. I think you need to back up at least to verse 14. Yeah, I think it might be the end of 13, the end of 13, that's right. There's a break. Mine has a paragraph break in the middle of 13. It starts, "Be at peace among yourselves." You see that? Now, what I'm reading is one of three things that I know about in Scripture. The Scripture clearly says, this is God's will for you. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, you ought to begin with these three things. All the other things we've talked about, I think, come in to illustrate or to give you examples or to give you some details. But these three things, this is the first one. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, to admonish those who are undisciplined, encourage those who are apprehensive, support those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that people do not try to repay evil with evil, or evil for evil. Always aim at what is best for each other and for everyone. Always be joyful. Pray constantly. And for all things, give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, this is one of the longest lists we've ever hit within a list. There's three sections of Scripture, three places in Scripture where it talks about specifically God's will for you. And this one actually generates a fairly long list. I don't know how much time I want to take on this, but notice some features of this. Do you notice him going back and forth between among yourselves, each other, and then saying everyone? What's he doing when he does that? What's the writer taking you to in your thinking? Each other means within the body. And when he says everyone, what is he talking about? It goes outside the walls of the church. It goes beyond the connections that we have within the body. Be at peace among yourselves. Is that a challenge? Luckily, not too much of a problem for our church in this year. But it's only been, what, 2 weeks, Jack? I understand you all applauded last week for Jack and Eloise. That was a very worthy thing to do. I think they're celebrating their 2-week anniversary today. Probably ought to applaud again. Peace is a fragile thing. And it takes work and attention all the time. What does it mean to be at peace? You notice something that's wrong and so you don't say anything about it because you want to keep the peace? No, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is when you have differences, how you approach those differences can build the body or can destroy the body. They can bring connections and accountability into the body, or they can break things apart. I really like verse 14. We urge you, brothers, to, and he says four things. Did you notice that? The first one in my translation says, admonish those who are undisciplined. The word admonish, is that a positive word or a negative word? That's a negative word. That's sort of bringing up sharp. If you're a fan of Warner Brothers cartoons, are you a fan of Warner Brothers cartoons? Right. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck. Okay. This is the moment where Daffy or Bugs or one of them grabs one of the other cartoon characters and sort of goes like this for a moment or two to get their attention. Right? It's a little bit negative. All right. The second word is encourage. Is that a positive word or a negative word? That's a positive word. Okay. What's the group you're supposed to approach negatively? Mine says the undisciplined. What does yours say? The idle. The lazy. Ooh. Okay. Which is the group that you're supposed to encourage? Mine says apprehensive. What does yours say? Timid. Okay. Now, let me try to put those last two words. I'm going to put your word with your word. Lazy, you're supposed to do what? Admonish, right? And timid, you're supposed to encourage, right? What behavior would you see from a timid person? Uninvolved. Disconnected. Standing back, letting others do the work. What behavior do you see from a lazy person? Standing back, letting other people do the work. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? This is what I love about this. There's a challenge buried in this for people in the body. What's that? You got to figure out which one's which. The behavior itself may not tell you which one's which. You've got to get to know somebody well enough to know what is it that's producing whatever behavior. And what's the probable truth? There's a little bit of both in everybody. And you got to know, okay, which one do I... If you're holding your balance, my son bought a Wii. And there's this balance thing he's gotten now. And there's a little red spot that's on the screen. And if you put your weight too much on your right foot, the red spot moves to one side or the other. Right? What's the third one? Mine says support. Yours says help. Mine says the weak, and you agree with that. My goodness, that might share the same group of things. That might share the same group of behavior observations. Okay, so you got one group you're supposed to admonish, one group you're supposed to encourage, one group you're supposed to support. And then what's the last thing?
Be patient.
Everybody. Patient with everybody. It calls for discernment on the part of the church and the part of the church body. It calls for mutual knowledge where we learn enough about each other to where we start to learn something about how we function. God's will for you is that you figure out how to do that. And that as others in the body try to help you, you cooperate. This picture is a picture of health inside a church. Make sure people do not try to repay evil with evil. Starting down that road gets you nowhere. Always aim at what is best for who? For each other and for everyone. And then come the big ones. What's the first one?
Rejoice.
Rejoice always. How easy was that this week?
Yeah.
How easy was that this week?
Pretty easy last night.
Pretty easy at the end of the week.
Pretty easy.
Hard to find at the first of the week.
Yeah.
My friend Bonnie, I cannot stop thinking about her. How do you rejoice in this? Sometimes I repeat things because if I repeat them enough, maybe you'll remember them. Somebody said one time, joy is the flag that flies over the castle of my heart to say that the king is in residence. And the picture goes back to the Middle Ages when a king would go and visit his noblemen and would stay in their castle or their fortress for a night. And the special flag of the king would fly over him. Does not say what the circumstances are. Simply says what the relationship is that supersedes and controls all circumstances. Always be joyful. That's a challenge. Your friends can help. A bunch of us have been praying for you guys and for that situation. Jack and Eloise have helped this week. I didn't know that. I wasn't here last week, so I wasn't here when you all cheered. But it's kind of cool to see newlyweds in our group. Always be joyful, it says. But then it follows it with what? Pray constantly, because that's the only way you're going to find joy in all situations. And then what? Give thanks for what? For everything. The combination of this list, starting with be at peace among yourselves and finishing with give thanks for everything, is a challenge for the church. It's a challenge for the body. It's a challenge for us in our class. John?
Is it giving thanks for everything or giving thanks in everything?
I think the translation that says in everything is a better translation. I think that's a better translation. I've actually got a note out here in the margin in ink that's fading. Yeah, I think the translation that says giving thanks in everything, in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We almost tend to throw away the end of that. Don't throw it away. Where are we supposed to be? In Christ and Christ in us. Christ in you makes you my brother or sister. Christ in me makes me your brother or sister. The thing that binds us together is what we have in common, which is the Lord in our hearts. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What comments do you have? That's the first one. Let's move to the second one. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you found Hebrews, go one more book. And then go one more after that. 1 Peter chapter 2. I really like this one. It's such a contrast to the first one. It is such a contrast to the first one. Verse 15. Read that verse, and then let's talk about it. It is God's will that by your good deeds you should silence the ignorant talk of fools. The Bible doesn't use language like that too often. But using it here. How does yours give them? Now that's verse 13. I went down to verse 15. Honorable lives. Some of you were in the 8 o'clock worship service. Some of you heard Pastor Collins talk. What are we called to? He gave you a list of things we were not called to, and then the first word of what we were called to. If you still have the pink sheets, remember he apologized for calling them pink sheets? Maybe he'll remember to do that again. It's up at the top of the back page. Some of you still have that. Yeah. What's the first word he says about what it is, what it means, not what it doesn't mean? He talks for a couple of lines about what it doesn't mean. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. That's what this verse is talking about. Honorable living, I think, or honorable life, you said. It is God's will that the kind of life you live would silence the ignorant talk of fools. Now, what does that mean? When I learned that Mark Fowler had died, and it wasn't clear what had happened, how it had happened, I went into the website for the San Antonio newspaper. You can do this too if you want to. And I typed on the search line, quotation mark, Mark Fowler, close quotation mark. And up popped 7 letters to the editor that he had written within the last year and a half. He lived downtown. They had rebuilt. If you can picture the Carpenter Center in Richmond with condos above it. I don't think that exists in Richmond, but it does in San Antonio. He was living in a condo above that. At intermission for the operas and the symphony concerts, he would have guests come up to his apartment for a little party, and then they'd come back down for the second half. He was a champion for the vibrancy of downtown. There was a story that came out about the shooting in the school for the Amish families in Pennsylvania. Remember that story? And an article was written. And in the article, the writer wrote something like this: the Amish have taught us about our capacity for forgiveness. And Mark wrote, the writer had it wrong. We don't have an innate capacity for forgiveness. Our capacity for forgiveness is a gift from God. And he went on to talk about the Amish give us such a beautiful example because they're rare. The tragedy is every Christian ought to be given that same witness. And I found myself thinking about this. The kind of life we live ought to itself be such that people who would say things about Christianity, about God, that are patently false, would be silenced. And isn't it a tragedy that our witness is not such as to be able to do that? Becky?
The youth are just starting on this crazy love, and I'm showing Eugene this small paragraph that just speaks to this perfectly. We need to stop giving people excuses not to believe in God. You've probably heard the expression, I believe in God, just got organized religion. I don't think people would say that if the church truly lived like we're called to live. The expression would change to, I can't deny what the church does, but I don't believe in their God. At least then they'd address their rejection of God rather than use the church as a scapegoat.
That's perfect.
That's an awesome book.
It is God's will that by our lifestyle we would silence the ignorant talk of fools. How are we doing? There's a show called John Boy and Billy that I'm ashamed to admit that every once in a while I listen to. They have a guest on named Hoyt every once in a while. He starts talking about something and John Boy says, how did that go? And Hoyt almost always says, not so good. It is God's will that we build a community within ourselves that is positive, that fixes the things that are going wrong in positive ways when positive ways are needed, in negative ways when negative ways, always patiently. And that the result of the lifestyle that we live in the world would bring people to a point where they could see clearly what was going on. I like that they quit complaining about religion and start to focus on what the real central thing is, which is a rejection of God. Lujan, you were about to say something.
I was going to say, in many ways, the way you're going with this actually really relates back to the First Thessalonians passage. Back to that part where it says, warn the idle, encourage the timid, hopefully be patient with everyone. You know, in some ways, I mean, I've seen myself in this here. You know, sometimes I'm idle and I'm timid because I don't want to confront. I don't want to really stand up and say, this is who God made me do. Be patient.
What comments do you have? That's 2 out of 3.
The pastor spoke that to Solomon.
Didn't he, though? You want to say some more?
Mm-hmm. The ones of us that the guy heard it, let the elders hear it. Mm-hmm. Look for it. Listen for it. What he said.
I'm really curious to know what he is saying right now. Because after our 8 o'clock service, I went up and told him about Barbara's crazy Aunt Viola. She and her husband lived just outside of Houston, and one day they got a hankering for Mexican food. So they took turns driving. They did not stop. They took turns driving to El Paso. Had a meal in a Mexican restaurant and drove home. 800 miles each way. Viola and her husband visited New York City and drove their car into Manhattan. Viola always drove in the big cities. Her husband would drive out on the road. Raymond would drive out on the road. The story as I heard her tell it was that they knew they needed to get on a bridge. I think it was the George Washington Bridge up at the north end of the island in order to get back across to the mainland and head back to Texas. And they could not, they could see the bridge, but they could not figure out how to get onto it. So they flagged down a New York City cop in a cop car. And the cop starts to explain to them. And then after a while, he realizes who he's dealing with. And he says to them, those of you who are in the first hour will know what he said. Follow me. So Viola falls in behind him, takes her onto the ramp, and just before the bridge, he goes onto the exit. Turned on the lights, pulled over to the side and walked back to the car and said something to the effect of, lady, I'm not leaving Manhattan, you are. So we're going to do it again. If you follow me off this time, I'm going to give you a ticket. Now, here's the point. You listen to Travis's story, you think about Aunt Viola. And they both make the same point. There are people you can follow for a while, but you don't follow people the whole way. You follow the Lord the whole way. He's the one who says, come follow me. And you can do that for all of life. A lifestyle that is consistent with our relationship with Him, the world will respond to. their ignorant talk will be silent. Now, guess what? The fools that the Bible refers to aren't only the ones who are outside the body. As you and I begin to do the things God calls us to do, some of the ignorant words we might have start to fall away too. And truth begins to find a home in the words we say. Our foolish and ignorant talking begins to change a bit too as we come closer to Him. You ready for number three? You've already found 1 Thessalonians. Go find it again. Chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we urge you and we appeal to you in the Lord Jesus. Semicolon. Did yours have a semicolon at that point?
No.
I don't think Hebrew had any punctuation marks at all, but mine has a semicolon because a new thought is starting. We, chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1. We instructed you how to live in the way that pleases God. And you are so living. You're living that way. But make more progress still. You're well aware of the instructions we gave you on the authority of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. God wills all of you to be holy. Some translations say sanctified. And then it begins to talk about sexual sins. After that, jump down to verse 7. God called us to be holy, not to be immoral. I'm not sure where the biggest problem is in the Baptist church right now. We got a lot. But I think I know where the biggest problem is in the Catholic Church. And problems like that crop up all kinds of places. Immorality doesn't only affect sexual things, but it's one of the big ones. God wills us to be holy, set apart for His service, different. And when we jump into the immorality that the world has, we lose all our influence. So what do we do when a brother slips and falls? The first of these three tells us what to do, doesn't it? You admonish. But you admonish with a purpose of restoring. I don't know that we do that very well. I got to thinking that at root what this is saying is get control of your body. I probably need to go see my friend Kathy again. I'm not sure it was on the 15-foot drop on the cyclone this last weekend, but on Sunday after all that water park stuff, my back went out. It's quite a bit better today, but it seems that each time something like that happens, I go see Kathy for a little while. She's a physical therapist, and she gets me going again. But I had the experience of looking at a photograph that my brother took of Barbara and my family back in, I guess, the late 70s, early 80s. And my body didn't look then quite like it looks now. I commented to Barbara that I think she must have changed the water in the washing machines because my clothes are slightly shrunk compared to where they used to be. Control of the body has lots of different directions. Control of what we say, control of what we do, control of how we eat, control of how we take care of ourselves. Ralph, I think you and I talked about this a little bit. There are so many things that are involved in this. Paul said at one point, physical exercise is pretty important, but spiritual things are more important. He wasn't dismissing taking care of your body. He was simply saying there were some things that superseded that. But the question of how we control our body, the things we do, the places we let our bodies go, the things we let our bodies see and hear, the things we allow our bodies to do. God wills the things that we are, the things our bodies do and hear and experience, to be connected with His kingdom, set apart for special service. And so often, we don't see that. It was a challenge for me this morning. Kitty Neal makes the most delicious bread. It's hard for me not to walk back to that table and have some. But I've had a bit too much in the last little while. So I decided if I get any, I'll just have it when I ordinarily would have had lesser bread. Can you put these three things together? Within the body, there needs to be an atmosphere that creates a situation in which the help I need can come from God through my brothers and sisters. Sometimes admonition, sometimes encouragement, sometimes direction, but always with patience. Producing in all of us lifestyles that are holy. And the consequence of that is it's a witness in the world that the world cannot ignore and cannot misunderstand. That is God's will for us as individuals in the church and as the church itself. And the Bible does talk about that specifically, exactly in these three places. I commend these ideas for you to think about in this year. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the time you give us. We thank you for the words you give us. And we thank you this morning for the challenge that we hear. You do have a specific will for us as individuals in this church body and for this church body in general. You want us to be a community that encourages each other in our walk with you. You want us to have a witness in this world that the world cannot ignore and cannot misunderstand. And you want us available for service so that things that need to be done in the world, one or another of us will each do our part. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for His indwelling us in your Spirit. And we thank you for the deep love you have for us. And we thank you that you've enabled us and encouraged us to respond to that love. Go with us this week. Go with us in the weeks to come. We ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen.